We're looking at proper number 11, which is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost.
Okay.
Your sales pitch on the parables.
Yeah, right here. David, I didn't mention it in your class today. Anyway.
We have a representative from each class.
There we go. Yeah. Two people show up and a grad student. We're doing okay. Anyway, proper 11 is what you said?
Yep.
10th week of Pentecost?
Is that we're week after Pentecost.
And Matthew 13, great parable chapter. Lots of fun stuff in here. I'm sure you got a little background on this last week from Dr. Gibbs, who could give you way more background than I ever possibly could on Matthew. But the context here is certainly the beginning of a response to the earthly ministry of Jesus and describing the reality of the kingdom to primarily his disciples. Interestingly, this is one of those cases where our lectionary tells us to skip over the juicy parts and the hard passages, I should say. In chapter 13, the first parable of the sower that you had last week, right, skipping over the prophecy from Isaiah about eyes that don't see and ears that don't hear. And then verse 16, blessed are your eyes because they see. So immediately you have this distinction between people who see and people who don't see, and in Jesus' own ministry, between the disciples and the crowds who follow and those who turn away and reject. And so what Jesus is describing in these parables when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew's terminology is what is the response to the kingdom and what is the result of that response? Okay. So you had in the parable of the sower, you had one type of seed bore fruit, responded to Jesus, and three-fourths of the seeds that got sown didn't produce fruit, and so weren't didn't accomplish the purposes of Jesus' preaching. Here, it gets a little bit sharper in the parable in beginning in verse 24, the parable of the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds, because now he's describing what happens to those who reject. So not only in the first parable you had some bear fruit and some don't, and they're just sort of gone, okay? Here you have seed that bears fruit and seed that doesn't, but now you find out what happens to the seed that doesn't, or to the non-seed, I guess you'd say. So it's the pragmatics of the parable, what the purpose is strikingly different from the first one. We'll get to that at the end here. In any case, verse 24. Alem parabolein parethiken altois legon. Another parable he sent to them, he gave to them, saying, Hawaiate he basileia ton huron anthropos beronte kalon sperma entagro altu. The kingdom of heavens, the kingdom of the heavens, is likened, I say it's passive, to a man, a person, Sperati, participle, having sown kalon sperma, excellent seed, good seed. Not just good, sort of good in a, what would you say, good person kind of way, but excellent, the outstanding seed. It's just this kind of substance. Outstanding seed in his field. Okay. So obviously, echoes the parable of the sower. You got somebody sowing, same decoding applies there. Seed supposed to produce wheat. Okay. Verse 25, and here in this pericope we have some nice uses of the infinitive, so good practice for the infinitive here. Endeto kathudain tus anthropus. We'll stop there for a second. Kathudain, the infinitive form, and ento plus the infinitive gives you a temporal context. So while sleeping, and then tus anthropus, the man is in the accusative, which becomes the subject of the infinitive. So while the man slept, or in the act of sleeping, okay, in the act of the man sleeping, I guess you'd say, if you want to be really literal, but while the man slept, elfen autu haekros kai esperen zidzania anamesan tu situ kai apelfan. So while he slept, his enemy came, obviously Eris of Erechimai, and sowed, and you got the ep in front of that compound for some reason, don't know if that means like thoroughly sold or completely sold, or usually compounds are just because you wanted to change the form. It doesn't really matter. Spiral and epispiral mean about the same thing. Anyway, the enemy sowed zizania. Zizania, most commentaries will tell you, I've never seen it personally or eaten it or anything like this, but apparently it's a form of grass that looks awfully similar to wheat when it's first sprouting. And not until it doesn't produce any grain do you sort of notice that it's not really wheat. So, you know, I guess a first century Palestinian farmer would probably pick up on these kinds of things, and maybe it's worth pointing out that the enemy is intentionally deceiving, you know, if you wanted to make a point of this. But in any case, there's something that's not supposed to be there, put there by an enemy. Anamessan is a nice and proper preposition. In the midst of the grain or among the grain, common phrase, anamessan always takes a genitive. So the grain is sown amidst, or I'm sorry, the weed is sown amidst the grain, and he departed. He went away. So he came and he went away. Erkamai and Aper Kamai. I suppose the obvious point here is from the beginning, everybody knows, or by nature, it's either seed or it's not seed. It's not like one turns into something else or one turns into another thing. And this harkens back to what Jesus is talking about in the previous parable. Some soil will produce fruit and some soil will not. It's sort of not up to you. but that's the point here. Some are destined for the kingdom, some are not. I mean, predestination is not sort of the theme of this, but it's reflected in that analogy. All right, verse 26. Hata de eblastisen, akartos kai karpon epoiesen. The verb there, you see the aorist, fertilized egg, a blastocyte, right? When it first sprouts, isn't that what that term comes from? Anyway, but when the grain sprouts, I guess you'd say, and epoiesen, aorist epoio, makes fruit, produces fruit, then afane tata afane kai ta zizania. Then appeared also the weeds. Here by appear, you might want to understand this as more or not. It didn't sprout up until the grain appeared, but it became evident, sort of a thing. It became evident that you had weeds and had wheat. Okay. So when they see this, verse 27, prosothontes de hoiduloi tu okadaspatu iphonato. Okay, the dead there's got to be just sort of transitional. Then the slaves of the master of the house, upon coming, said to him, aorist tense, Curia uki kalon sperma espirasento so agro. Did not excellent seed you sow? Did you not sow? Aristo spiro there. Excellent seed in your field. There so is the possessive pronoun in the dative case, obviously because it's adjectival pronoun here. In your field. Palfen un eche zidania. From whence therefore, or so where did does it have weeds? It there must be the field. So from whence does it have weeds? Why does your field have weeds if you put only excellent soil in there? Again, you don't want to read too much into these things, but are they asking if the owner messed up? You know, did you buy cheap seed or something here? You know, or are they just sort of stating the obvious? You know, we know what you did. We know the nature of the master. It's not really the point of the parable. They're simply raising the point. There should only be good stuff. This is what you did, yet you have bad stuff. How do you explain this? The parallel to Jesus' ministry is obvious. You know, you came to do good stuff, bring people into your kingdom, yet we've got bad stuff. What's going on here? Okay, why are some not part of this? They look the same. They look like everybody else. How come some are in and some are out? Okay. So the response of the master, verse 20, Hada Ephaeotois, but he says to them, Ekthros anthropos tuta apoiesen. An enemy person did this. A man, an enemy, did this. Interestingly, he doesn't call him his enemy. It probably doesn't matter, but identified with the same person earlier. A person, an enemy, did this. So it's not my fault. Okay, I came, I did this to do good stuff, but somebody else has other motives. Hoi de douloi legis en auto. But the slaves say to him, Thales un apothantes seleximen auta. Do you wish, therefore, having gone out, that we should uproot it, separate these things? So, what should we do about this? Is it our responsibility to take care of the bad stuff? Say the servants to the master. 29, Hodefesen, U mepata selegantes ta zidzania ekrisesita hama autois tansetant. No, lest uprooting or separating the zizania, and here's the rizzo, ekrizo, you uproot with them the grain. Okay, so don't separate now, lest you uproot the good stuff with the bad stuff. 30. Afata sunaxanas. Jesus, Pete. Sunaxanastai. Too many consonants there. Sunaxanastai. There we go. Flutura haos to therismu. Okay, so permit to grow together or to increase together, sun oxanami there, to grow together both until the therasmos, the harvest. Kai en kairo to therismu, and at the time of the harvest, ero tois therestais, I will say to the harvesters, selexata proton ta zitzania, kai desata auta ais desmas prosta katakalsai auto. Okay. So separate first the zizania and bind them into bundles in order to be burned. They're prosta with the infinitive for the purpose of burning, consuming. Katakalamai there. But the grain, tandasiton, sunagagata, aistan, apothekenmu. But the grain, gather into my. What is that word? Is that barns? I don't even know. Apotheken? What's the word there? Sorry. Into my barns, I think is what that word is. Is that what it is? Yeah, I assume that's what it is. Looks like a place that belongs. It must be a barn. Literally. All right. So there's your parable. Okay. And it stops. Now, 31 gives us another parable, which we're supposed to skip in the lectionary, the mustard seed. And 33 is a very short parable, the leaven. Okay. And then we have this explanation as to why Jesus is speaking in parables. And here it's to reveal. I will reveal hidden things, hidden from the foundations of the world. And then in 36, we get, for the second time, the disciples asking about the parable. So, 36, tota apes, and this is where the pericope picks up again. Tota apes tu saklos ephlon estein oikian. Then, having dismissed the crowds, he came into the house. Kai proselphon auto hoi mathe tai auto legantes, and his disciples came to him, saying, diasapheson, Amen. Tame parbelling, tanzanian to agru. Diasatheo is sort of make clear, explain for us. I guess dative of advantage you'd say there. The parable of the wheat, or I'm sorry, the weeds of the field, the zizania of the field. Interestingly, you don't know why, but they didn't ask about the mustard seed or the leaven. Those must have been obvious what those are about, but they had some questions about this one. Maybe because it's a little bit more troubling, in a sense. The mustard seed, sort of positive. You know, the mustard seed grows and you get this big kingdom. That's all happy, This one's kind of sad because stuff gets burned, And the implication is, which one are we? Are we the wheat or the weeds? Becomes the question. So the disciples are picking up on the thrust of the parable here. There's only two kinds of people, and some people aren't going to be real happy at the end. Okay. And so the natural response of anybody is going to be, well, wait a minute, which side are we on? Okay. So I don't know that we want to say the parables are that clear, that they don't ask about the other two, but this is clearly the troubling one. This is the heart of the matter. How are you responding to this guy? and the disciples are worried about it. Okay. Now, they do the right thing. They go ask Jesus, so they're on the right track, obviously. But explain for us the parable of the weeds. And in fact, they even call it the parable of the weeds, not the parable of the grain. they label it by its negative. So verse 37, answering, he says, Hasparon tokalon sperma esten hahuyas to anthropu. The one sowing the excellent seed is the Son of Man. Son of Man is one of these classic Christological titles. A lot of debate about what this means. Personally, I've sort of come to the conclusion that when Jesus says Son of Man, he simply means me, and he fills it up with his own content. Son of Man is not a preloaded term like Christos or something. The sower of the excellent seed is me. he's equating it specifically to his ministry. Hod agros esten hakosmos, the field is the world. Tod kalon sperma hutoi eisen hoi huioi teis basileos, the excellent seed are the sons of the kingdom. Tad is zidania eisen hoi huioi tu paneru. The zidania, the weeds, are the sons of the evil one. So, two options again. Kingdom, evil one. Which is your Lord, in a sense. 39, had ektas asperas ata esten ha diabolos. The enemy, the one having sown those things, these things, is the devil. Had therasmas centhalia ionas esten. The harvest is the consummation of the age, the end of the age. Hoide therestai angloi eisen. The harvesters are angels, messengers, the ones sent to do the harvest. I guess that's where the Grim Reaper comes from. I don't know. Never thought of that before. Anyway, verse 40. Hasperun sulegatai ta zidzania kai puri kadakayatai. Hutasastai enta centhalia tu ios. Here's the point of the parable. Just as, therefore, you see therefore now, you know you're hitting the hard stuff here. Just as the zidzania is gathered and consumed by fire, thusly it will be in the consummation of the age, or at the end of the age. And now here, no more parables. Apostole, or apostolai, hahuyas tu anthropu, tu sangalusa tu. The Son of Man, I, will send his messengers, my messengers, kai sulexisin ek tes basileas tu, pantitas scandala, kai tus poiuntas, tain anemion. Okay, and he'll separate from his kingdom all the scandals, right? The stumbling stones, and those doing lawlessness, evildoers, maybe is the way that's usually translated. Kaibalsin autus eistain, let's see, kamanon to purus. And they will cast them into the furnace of fire. Interesting, he quotes Daniel here, furnace of fire. That was actually a means of deliverance for Daniel and for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here, furnace of fire is used as a place of judgment. So you almost wonder if he's actually quoting Daniel, or if he just, furnace of fire is just what you say. You know, I don't know if he's actually alluding to that, because it kind of makes no sense here. It's a completely opposite point. In any case, the point is the weeds are burned up. Ekai estai ha klathmas kai brugmas tan hedantan. There will be, and everybody knows this, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Interesting image. Not a pleasant thing. Which does raise sort of a question. If the lawless ones are gathered together and cast into a fire, you think the fire is going to burn them up, but the fire doesn't go out. The fire stays, and they're in torment, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not, boom, they're gone. Rather interesting image. So it's, you know, again, it's sort of not quite what you'd expect, which makes you wonder how literal do you actually kind of take this as a description of the eternal punishment or something. I know it's good fodder for Dante, but you know, the point is he's describing separation, punishment, judgment, death, you know. The specifics of the punishment, I'm not sure how far you want to press that. Anyway, Tatahadikayoi, eklapsusin. The righteous ones will shine, hos hehelios, en to basalaya to patrasaton. The righteous one will shine, will lighten, right, like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The one who has ekon hata akuto, the one who has ears, let him hear. And that's where he ends. So, interestingly, the end, the last phrase there is almost not gospel, is it? Let the ones who has ears hear. The disciples are still left with the question, who hears? The whole problem is, while they're here in the field, on the earth, they look the same. For all intents and purposes, they appear the same until the harvest comes. It's a call to warning, right? And the disciples were right to wonder, which side am I on? And the call to us is to wonder which side we're on. It's a parable of warning. Interestingly, the focus is much more on what happens to the bad stuff than on what happens to the good stuff. The good stuff is sort of generic. You know, he's just talking about, you go to the Father, and they shine like the sun. I'm going to spend a lot more time about what happens to the bad stuff. So again, what you ask when you're doing a parable is you know, what are the pragmatics? What is the purpose of telling the parable? What is Jesus trying to get his hearers to do or think or change? Okay, and what he's trying to get his hearers here to consider is, which side am I on? Okay, am I responding properly to the kingdom? Do I have ears to hear? The disciples were wondering this, and they were right to. Certainly during Jesus' ministry, they saw many people who eventually did not follow. Same question falls for us. You know, which side are we on? There's only two options here. And are we responding properly? Do we have ears to hear? And it's a warning parable, lest we end up like those who are outside the kingdom. There's only two options. So there's not a whole lot of gospel. If there's any gospel, it's simply God wants you in his kingdom. And he sowed seed so that you end up in his kingdom. That's the whole purpose of his ministry, the whole purpose of the preaching of the word, the preaching of the gospel still today, is that fruit happens. But the reality is, in this world, there are two kinds of people. Don't end up like the other kind, is the warning. And I think it is striking that the disciples picked up on it. This is the parable they ask about. This is the parable they're worried about. And I don't know if we like to think of Jesus causing fear in people or something, but I think the disciples are actually kind of afraid at this point. What's going to happen to us specifically, and how do I respond properly? Interestingly, the next parable then sort of gives you the positive. What should you be doing? Right, treasure hidden in the field, go sell all you have. Now, I know there's a couple interpretations of that, but this parable is a negative. Don't end up like that. The next parables give you the positive. What should you be doing? So, not a lot of happy sermon this week, I suppose. If that's your goal. I suppose you'd be thankful that the seed is being sown and its purpose is, well, you're going to bear fruit. You know, fruit here is faith. It's not good works or something like that. But it's warning, and perhaps it's a message that we're not too comfortable preaching anymore. In terms of application, what you might want to do is sort of take it the next step. The disciples are concerned about themselves. What we might want to encourage for our people is, okay, if we are the ones who have heard, if we've heard the gospel, what about the rest of the world? Okay, and what are the two options for those in the world? And if we know what the outcome will be, either salvation or judgment, okay, our job should be to go out and, you know, sow the seed. Okay. Now, that's not really what the parable is about, but I would hope, anyway, that most people sitting in your pew on Sunday morning are responding faithfully to the kingdom. They're out the weeds. You don't need to, you know, sinners in the hands of an angry God dangling over a pit Jonathan Edwards sermon here necessarily. Might better be preached as since we know what the kingdom is and what the situation in the world is, our task is to sow the word, sow the seed, recognize that the enemy is still at work, and do all that we can so that people hear properly. So, one potential thing there if you want to make an application. Any observations?
Well, I have a question with the wheat, Cezania. Mm-hmm. Did you say it's the wheatgrass? Like, this is the weeds that haven't really grown up yet, so they look like grass?
It's actually a separate, you know, plant.
Okay.
Right, separate plant, but it, from what I understand, sort of looks the same when it's young. It doesn't come obvious that it's not wheat until later on.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to deceive somebody, it's a good trick, you know, kind of a thing. It's like swapping babies in the cradle or something, you know. That's not a good analogy, but if you swap 12-year-olds, it's obvious that they're different. If you swap 2-day-olds, you know, it's not that obvious. That, you know, that's a stupid analogy, but
gotcha.
But yeah, they're another plant, but they look similar when they're young. Forget I said that.
Just edit
that out. Yeah, cut that out. Whoever does this. Yeah. Anything else? All right. Good. Turn. Oh, good.
Eric, should we shut off the most private side issue? All right. I was actually just wondering, 2024 and 2025 were issued from a singular sampler funnel, mangoes.